Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today as we face the issues. I pray that you tune in each day with the desire to learn, to understand, and to be edified in a sense as to what's taking place in our nation today and how it correlates with biblical truth, and especially from the standpoint of conservative Christian patriots, how we're to respond to what we see taking place in our great nation today. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on political ideological bent. It's not based on some denominational dogma or some philosophical rhetoric. We base our coverage of issues based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, he elaborates by saying in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." So it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway each and every day. From Genesis 1, 1 through the book of the Revelation, you find God's progressive revelation of himself to man. And as we look at the Word of God, we understand that God created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and he did so in that order. So as we face the issues, anything that we cover in those three major categories, we'd call it today political affairs, civics, government. We'd call it today the theological, doctrinal, biblical issues and the spiritual issues and church issues and the home and family issues. And as we look at those issues, we need to understand that God's Word has an answer. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're going to be talking about today a question. Is America a communist regime? Is America a communist regime? And we're going to answer that question today. We're going to look at it very forthrightly as to what we see taking place. And then we're going to look at some biblical principles that focus on where we should go, what we should be doing, and how we should respond to what we see and what we know and what we're understanding that's taking place in our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's facing the issues based on truth. It was the secularist George Orwell in his book 1984 that was printed and published in 1947, I believe was the date. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see today, ladies and gentlemen, truth is despised, rejected, disdained, and there's a lot of folks today that will absolutely confront you if you try to stand and speak the truth, even if you speak the truth in love. And let me read that again. "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's exactly what we see taking place. If you don't believe it, watch what's happening in the halls of Congress in the Beltway of Washington and see if there's an element of truth there in relationship to what they're saying and doing and the laws that they're promulgating. They're not looking for truth at all. But ladies and gentlemen, it's 15th century theologian and church reformer that makes a statement that I believe we ought to understand. Jan Hus, 15th century theologian and church reformer, made this statement. "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you recognize it or not, but we're rapidly, each and every day, getting closer to that place where we will literally place our lives on the limb, as the old cliche goes, when we stand for truth, when we speak the truth. when we love the truth and stand to defend the truth. And I don't know about you, and it's not a doom and gloom statement, but it's a reality check for us, I believe, to understand that we're in the last of the last days. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, Paul said to Timothy, as he's writing under the inspiration of the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, there shall be perilous times in the last days. Perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating. And that's what we see taking place in our society today. And this is the reason we strive each and every day to get you, our listeners, to understand what is happening and call for an action on the part of Christians to be salt and light. Jesus said that ye are salt and ye are light, speaking of the church. Listen, even though it's applicable individually, Jesus was speaking to the church. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the earth. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, salt that's in the shaker has no value, the scripture says, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. If it's lost its savor, if the light is still hidden under a bushel, it has no value, cannot illumine anything in society. So we need to be salt and light, illuminating the darkened world that we're in, preserving the decaying society that we see taking place around us. That's the challenge in the broadcast each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time has a staff that can answer your questions about professional as well as the homeowner's lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, where is Tools for Time located? Good question. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of the Beltway, I-295, and Old San Augustine Road. You have a benchmark there, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Fine American flag flowing at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, today, as we look across the nation, as we look across the, what I call the political landscape in America today, I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to endeavor to answer several of the questions and let us see through the mirror that is pretty dark today as to what we're talking about and where we're going as a nation. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. The question today, is America a communist regime? And I've got articles where people of renown are saying that very thing this very day. But as we look across the political landscape in America, just what do we see? Several things that I want us to think about that sets the stage for the focal point of where we're going. I want us to look at where we are when we look at the political landscape. Today, ladies and gentlemen, illegals are entering into America by the hundreds of thousands. In fact, 500,000 has already entered. They say that by the end of this year, we will have over 100 million people or over 1 million people that will have entered into the borders of America that are illegal, that have 1 million by the end of this year. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, that there's no effort to stop the illegal flow. There's no effort to protect the sovereign borders of America. Our present president, if I can say this, you've heard me say it before, he is the what used to be called the Manchurian candidate. He is the Manchurian president today. He is the Trojan horse today. He is the cognitively unable individual that's supposed to be at the helm of America, but he has no authority, nothing that he says or does. In fact, I don't even know if Kamala Harris is in charge. I think that we're looking at a nation that's on the fast track for self-destruction under this present leadership. Perhaps you ask the question, let me answer it before you ask it aloud. Why are you taking this stand? Why am I, as a Christian, as a theologian, as a pastor, why am I taking such a dogmatic stand on where we're going in America? Because listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, if we lose our constitutional republic, if we lose our freedom of speech, if we lose our religious liberties, we have lost the church. We have lost Christianity. We've destroyed our voices to be the missionaries around the world. We've lost the ability to stand in the pulpits and preach, thus saith the word of God. We've lost the freedom to stand as a beacon for all of the world to see the morals and the ethics and the values in the United States of America that once we had, based on our founding documents, our founding fathers, and what they have left for us. So we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, as we look out on the political landscape, what else do we see? We're looking at the Black Lives Matter, BLM. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. BLM has nothing to do with skin tonation. Black Lives Matter has no interest in black lives being lost. If that were the case, they would be all over Baltimore, Chicago, and New York City. They'd be all over these major metropolitan areas where black lives are being destroyed by the dozens every weekend. They're saying nothing and doing nothing about that. You know why? Because Black Lives Matter is a socialist, Marxist, communist organization. The three black women that started Black Lives Matter, two of which are sodomites and brag about it, they all three say that they are highly trained Marxists. And the Marxist agenda is to overthrow, to destroy, to undermine the Constitutional Republic called United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, Black Lives Matter and Antifa are in charge of our major elite cities today. They're in charge, in bed with, if you want to call it that, with big business. In fact, big business, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you do not know this. In the past 12 months, big business, the major box stores, the major corporate entities have funded over $100 million to Black Lives Matter, because they want to be on the right side of the thinking, the political wokeism that's taking place in America today. And we have done nothing from a political standpoint, from an administrative standpoint, from a presidential standpoint. We've done nothing to cause it to cease and desist. And Black Lives Matter and Antifa are the two major arms being utilized by this present administration to undermine, tear down, and destroy, and to overthrow the Constitutional Republic known as the United States of America. Now, you might differ with that, and that's fine. Love to hear from you. If you think that this conversation is on the right track today, if you have insight as to what we need to do during the course of this broadcast, I'd love to hear from you. The telephone number is 831-0917. Today, ladies and gentlemen, thousands of good law enforcement officers are retiring, resigning, are refusing to continue to put their badge on and put their lives online each and every day. And it's because of the Marxist, socialist, democratic mayors and governors in these cities and states that's undermining and tearing down and destroying and literally removing that thin blue line. Have you ever heard that term? The thin blue line. That thin blue line is talking about the only separation between darkness, between evil and wickedness, is that thin blue line. That thin blue line happens to refer to law enforcement in America. And as a result of what we see taking place, with cities being burned, rioting taking place, the destruction on a rampant basis, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of property being absolutely incinerated, police officers, some 100, I believe, so far this year, lives have been taken as a result of going out and defending you and me and our families each and every day. But because of what is happening, because the Biden administration, because of the liberal Marxist agenda for America, the police officers, the thin blue line, is evaporating, eviscerating, disappearing each and every day. In fact, across America today, the law enforcement agencies are being hard put, hard pressed to try to get anyone to go in and fill out an application for the position of a law enforcement officer, a police officer. Why would you want to put a badge on, put in a target on your chest in order to go out and to have your hands tied? You're unable to make an arrest. You're unable to pull your weapon. You're unable to defend yourself, much less the general public. We're talking about what we see taking place when we look out across the political landscape in America today, that I believe is part and parcel of what has caused several people to say that America is a communist regime today. The question I'm asking you, do you feel that America is a communist regime today? Today, ladies and gentlemen, we no longer have a two-party political system. The Marxist Socialist Democrats with Joe Biden at the helm are in full charge of doing what Barack Obama said that he was going to do in his eight-year term. Fundamentally change America. we're watching America fundamentally being changed today. And it's being changed not for good, not for God, not for greatness, not for grandeur, but for absolute destruction of our constitutional republic. And we see that taking place. Biden, with his executive orders, already some 80 executive orders. And as Tony Perkins said in his recent newsletter, the majority of those executive orders have been designed to undermine faith, family, and our freedom and the future of our great nation. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly right. I'm looking at an article. It says the Biden agenda undermined life, family, and religion. It's dated April the 24th. A webpage created by the Family Research Council called Tracking the Biden Administration shows that more than a half of the president's executive actions have had one focus: to undermine the family and life and freedom of religion. At a 100-day mark of the Biden administration, it has become very evident that President Biden's call for unity and healing on day one of his presidency was nothing more than a rhetorical division, as he has demanded conformity to policies and priorities that threaten to lurch America into the left, into a historic proportions that we've never seen before. And it goes on to talk about, as our Tracking the Biden Administration report shows, President Biden has moved a record-setting pace to enact a far-left family, anti-family agenda in America. And finally, he says, he's already racked up a record of targeting people of faith and freedom-based organizations with the demoting religious protection and demanding uniform affirmation of the transgender ideology. Those who hold the biological reality and the doctrines of the world's major religions are being put in position of either violating their conscience or being treated by the government as second-class citizens in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the undermining, the evisceration of the very foundations of our nation. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's the question that I beg to ask you and ask you answer today. What are we to do based on what we see taking place? The administration is pushing immoral, unethical, ungodly values and forcing conservatives and Christians and patriots to literally embrace all the things that are immoral, ungodly, and unbiblical. So, ladies and gentlemen, are we a communist regime today? Is that really what we have devolved into? We're seeing today abortion is being pushed and paid for by taxpayers with taxpayer dollars. We're seeing today the sodomite LGBTQ agenda is the top priority for the Biden administration. Perhaps you don't know what that is. Perhaps you're not familiar with that. For example, I'm looking at an article that says, photographer fights non-discrimination demands that violates faith. A wedding photographer in New York is fighting the state non-discrimination law, alleging it violates her right to express her religious belief. Ladies and gentlemen, we can go across America, and it's been intensifying over the years, where Christian photographers, Christian wedding planners, Christian florists are being prosecuted and persecuted as a result of saying no to a sodomite agenda, are participating in something that's against their biblical faith and biblical truth as it is seen in the Word of God. We're watching the administration today, ladies and gentlemen, pushing the H.R. 5 called the Equality Act. The Equality Act is already signed by all of the approving parties in the Democratic side of the aisle in Washington. It's in the Senate today. It already has a major number of senators that have signed on. I think it'll take about three more senators for that bill, H.R. 5, to pass the Senate. Biden has already said that he wants it signed. H.R. 5 will make it illegal to say anything in a negative sense about the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBT community, and it will absolutely eviscerate the freedom of religion as we know it in America today. So we're looking at the undermining on a very rapid-fire basis of our foundation today. The moral, ethical, biblical foundation that we've come to know, appreciate, and love in America. I'm looking at Faith Freedom Coalition article by Ralph Reed. says churches, private schools, Christian nonprofits, and other religious groups may soon face an impossible decision. Either abandon their time-honored beliefs about sex and gender or break the law and accept the possibility of the crippling Equality Act persecution. The Equality Act seeks to classify sexual orientation and gender as protected classes, which would ultimately block any American, even a church or religious school, from arguing that complying with the act is contradictory to their religious beliefs. For churches, passing this act would mean that if they host any public event, they'd have to open women's bathrooms and changing areas to biological men. Churches would be forced to abandon teachings about their beliefs of human sexuality and marriage, even get rid of their faith-based conduct policies. Faith-based adoption agencies that operate under the biblical understanding of the family would be forced to violate their beliefs or shut down the adoption services. Under the Equality Act, if any religious group or church refused to listen to the government and choose instead to remain faithful to their religious beliefs, they would face huge fines, penalties, and even jail time. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, when you read H.R. 5, and I've read H.R. 5, every word of H.R. 5, an individual that does not go along with it could be punished by as much as 25 years in prison with fines as much as $150,000 to $150,000. And that's on the horizon out there before us. I'm talking about today the question that I'm asking, is America a communist regime today? Sidney Powell, a constitutional attorney that represented President Donald J. Trump in his reelection campaign, in fact, the aftermath of the stolen election, says that. We'll look at her article in a few moments. But she says that today, America is a communist regime. And that's a powerful statement. An astounding statement from a woman of her stature and standing in life and community. She's familiar with our Constitution. She knows what our Constitution requires and where we are and how we got where we are today. And she understands what's taking place. So, ladies and gentlemen, that sets the stage for what we want to talk about today in this broadcast. I'm delighted to have with me today in the studio Dan Ort. Dan is a patriot, a Christian, a constitutionalist. Dan loves the Lord. Dan loves our founding documents. And Dan, we're going to be talking about some of these things. If we see where we're going, if we see what the world is like, if we see what our nation is devolving to, the question that I've asked Francis Schaeffer used for so many years before his death, it was found in Ezekiel 33:10. How should we then live? Dan, what does this look like today, where we are today in America, as compared to our founding fathers, our founding documents, and the origin of America? What does it look like in comparison?
Well, first off, let me thank you again for the opportunity to sit here with you and to share with your audience the truth. When I look at my life, my youth, my ability to raise a family, to work hard, and to reap the rewards of what my founding fathers allowed in their documentation, the freedom, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Amen.
I fulfilled as much as I could up till today. Mm-hmm. When I see a news clip where three college students are being interviewed, young ladies, and the question was, is the rioting and looting, is it acceptable? And they said, one said, if it brings about the change, socialism, etc., mm-hmm. then it's justified. I never thought I would ever hear that in this country.
I wouldn't have either. Dan, if I can interject this for a moment. Some of the Barna Report and some of the other Pew Research and others that have been researching on the subject, I'm just absolutely astounded to understand in their research that 62% of the millennials say they prefer socialism over capitalism.
We're not talking a small amount or a small number. We're talking possibly millions of college graduates that have been de-Americanized. And I've mentioned so many times here and on the radio about the American Patriot Bible, authored by Dr. Richard G. Lee, and the importance of the Founding Fathers' words married with the Bible, a perfect union of their words and God's words. I still recommend that to everyone, to get copies, your children, your grandchildren, let them learn our history. I'm looking here, it's what's called the seven principles of the Judean Christian ethics. And it's basically telling us what our freedoms and liberties are about. Principle one, the dignity of human life. We always had the dignity of human life until abortion came. And what has happened since the acceptance? Who accepted abortion in this country? I didn't vote on it. Did you?
I didn't either. In fact, Dan, our listeners may not be aware of this, but it's Supreme Court ruling in 1973, Roe versus Wade.
Yes.
And I think most everybody's familiar with that aspect of it. What people are not familiar with is the fact Supreme Court cannot make a law.
Yes.
It issues an opinion. And any president, and I want our listeners to hear this well, research it, check it. I dare you to prove me wrong. Any president can refuse to accept the opinion of a Supreme Court.
Yes.
Supreme Court is just one of the three branches of government.
Yes.
They're not the overriding branch. They're not the legislative branch. They do not make laws. They simply are their purpose in position at the third branch of the government today is to interpret the law and to ascertain, is the law constitutional? And if they make a ruling or decision, I say ruling, if they render an opinion that says that some law is unconstitutional when in fact it defies reality based on our Constitution, then that opinion ought not to be adhered to or followed. And yet we've had that now since 1973, Dan.
And 63 million unborn Americans.
Murdered. Yes.
Have died. How many great scientists could there have been? How many great, honest, upright politicians could there have been?
I don't know if you call it an upright, honest politician.
Well, we thought of them as that, but not today.
And we refer to them as leaders, and they're not leaders. They're our servants, and that's what we hire them for. Dan, I believe we have Joseph on the line. Joseph, go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I don't believe America is a communist regime yet. However, we're moving in that direction. We still have a legal system. We still have an election system. We still have a representative government. But all of the above are seriously corrupted and taken captive by socialists and secular humanists. Lobbyists and bribery are rampant. Establishment elites wield unelected power and influence. A prime example was the last presidential election. Legal remedies were ignored or deliberately avoided. Spiritual forces have gradually brainwashed successive generations of Americans. Many Americans are spiritually asleep and chasing modern-day idols such as materialism, social status, recreation, sex, drugs, or other preoccupations. Biblical values are not only they're openly and aggressively refused. I mean, they're no longer meek about it. All of the above was prophesied in both the Old and New Testaments. My only hope is the Durham report, and I just hope and pray that man is doing his job. That's my two cents.
Joseph, I'm glad you mentioned that. All that you said was absolutely on target and on point. One of the things that I think we must recognize, number one, I don't believe we'll ever have anything called a Durham report. I believe it was all a facade. I believe it was all a fake. I believe it was all a transition of attention so that we'd believe that somehow, some way, Bob Barr was wanting to get down to the reality of the problems. Bob Barr was a fake, phony, and disingenuous, I believe, in his position of supposedly upholding the hands of President Donald J. Trump. I believe that he was on the other side of the team. The opposite opposing team, and I believe Bob Barr was simply one that was set up on the basis that we're going to have this investigation, and we're going to look at the Durham report. I believe that was set up on the basis that it's going to deflect the attention of the American people. I don't believe we'll ever hear from a so-called Durham report. It's like the Horowitz report that was almost worthless by the time you were able to see it with the redactions that was done in that. But I'm with you. I don't believe today we could say today that we're a communist regime. But unless God intervenes, unless we turn back to the truth of the Word of God, unless Christians are revived and we take a stand, we will become very rapidly now all the players in place, all of the tools are in place, all of the chess pieces are